Welcome to the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church, where the senior pastor is Reverend Charles B. Jackson, Sr. Brooklyn has two locations, one church. You can worship at the hour of 8 a.m. or 11 a.m. at the Brooklyn West Campus, or you can worship at the hour of 10 a.m. at the Brooklyn Northeast Campus, located at 1203 Summit Parkway, where the campus pastor is the Reverend Dr. Chris Levy Johnson. For more information and or directions, please visit us on the web at brooklynbaptist.org. Brooklyn consists of over 60 ministries to serve you and your family. Come by and have a Brooklyn experience. As we prepare for the word today, please reference number 111917. 111917. God has not forgotten you. Coming from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 13 through 18. We now join the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, already in progress. Have a blessed week in the Lord.
And so our parents did not play with us. We were taught to respect your elders, because my daddy used to say, you were trying to get where I've been. It was nothing to see more than one generation living in the same house. But we used to say, yes, sir, no, sir, no, ma'am. Our children now said, what? Huh? Yeah. Why you want me to do that? There was no questioning why you wanted to do something. That is, if you wanted to remain healthy, I mean. I mean, if you have a few ticks, you know. But it was interesting that we wanted to get older because we couldn't wait to get 18, right? So we could have a driver's license. And for some of you, you couldn't wait till you get 21, the legal age of drinking, you know what I mean, so that you can indulge. But nobody wants to get old no more, nobody. We're chasing the fountain of youth. Reverend Salmon, I was surprised to find in my research that the anti-aging industry is a $275 billion industry. I didn't say million, a $275 billion. Y'all know what we could do with $275 billion. Lord have mercy. Plastic surgeons got more business than they can handle. Creams can't stay on the shelf. Botox, lips, tucks, pinches, tugs, pulls, liposuction. Taking supplements, going to the gym 8 times a week. Trying to do everything. What's the stuff called? Bijan, just for men. Just to rinse, would take away the gray I did until it swole up my face. Yeah. I'm just being real. Y'all won't be real. Yeah, Dr. Boone knows about it. I'm just being real. That was the last time I tried to put some dye in my hair. That was the last time. See, y'all won't be honest, but you know who you are. You won't be honest. 150 and still got jet black hair. You know what I'm talking about. But instead of embracing our seniors and the aging baby boomers, they feel like we become a burden to society, that we're going to empty the pensions and savings at the coffers of young persons. I was reading Reverend Salmon, and I was looking on some of the reports that the statistics say that our culture views older persons as weak, dependent, and a burden. There are currently two global narratives that's abroad and current. One is that we are living to be much older. Because of the advancements in medical technology and science and wonder, we are going to live younger. But the second narrative is that they're going to become a burden. And don't get me wrong now, young people, don't get me wrong now. I don't want to beat you up too bad for talking about us. Because we said some things about y'all too, don't we? Don't we say some things about? Well, we can say some not so nice things about young people. So ageism and age discrimination happens on both ends of the spectrum. I remember reading a report in gerontology that physical aging today is seen as something that you avoid at all cost. But I tell you what, my brothers and sisters, it's a natural progression of life. And don't knock it because old age is a privilege that many are not privy to. Not everybody gets to live to be. I've been to a whole bunch of funerals lately, and I'm telling you, not everybody gets to live to a ripe old age. All right. Before I show my age, let me move on. Before I get forgetful, as y'all say, you know. Let me move on. There are three quick things, then, that I want to leave that lets you know why God loves you so much. And why he will never, ever forget any of us. We are under his care, his protection, and his provisions. And that brings me to the first point of the text, is that God still cares about you. Because he is a compassionate God. And he raises the question now, and he compares the love that he has to a mother. And God says, now, how could you even conceive or think of that there's a possibility if I know everything, if I'm omniscient, how can I forget you? If I knew you before you were born and I formed you in your mother's womb, if I can count the hairs on your head and number them, how can I forget you? He says, can a mother has a child who goes through 9 months of labor, of going through changes in her body, through emotions, how could she even conceivably forget about that baby? Is it possible? You mothers, you know it. How can you do that when there's such a bond that's been created between the mother and child? And that's all God is saying, that there is such a bond that he has with us and his children, that the way that he has cared for us and watched over us as a mother, that is unimaginable. That which he has formed and fashioned and planned a future and a life for, that he could forget something like that. Mothers are nurses, doctors, and psychologists, and counselors, they're even chauffeurs, they are coaches, they are developers of personalities, molder of vocabularies, and shapers of attitudes. That's a mother. There's a bond between the mother and the child. And God says, and guess what? I love you even more than your mama. That I love you so much because the love that I have for you, that even a mother's love cannot compare to the love. When you hurt, I hurt. When you cry, I cry. When you are frustrated, I'm frustrated. When you're down, I'm down. God says, I'm so attached to you. Yeah. It's like the umbilical cord with the mother. I'm so connected to you that I go through whatever you go through. So if I'm going through whatever you are going through, I'm experiencing what you are experiencing. How can I forget? He says, I will never. Aren't you glad that God, he says, people may forget you. Friends may forget. You know, some people conveniently forget you when they owe you money, when they owe you favors. Yeah, they get forgetful conveniently. We call it convenient amnesia. But God will never become amnesiatic. Never. To your concerns and your problems. And we're going to see in a few minutes about how much God takes this to heart. So that's the first one of the text. God still is concerned about you, me, and all of us. The second point of the text is that God has such a compulsion. God's compulsion. God has such a compulsion that he can't forget his children. And even though he talks about the mother may forget sometime, but he uses the Hebrew word sakar, which refers to someone or something that was once known. Its most common use is in reference to Israel's covenantal faithfulness, that is, the failure of God's people while they forgot him. In the New Testament is the word epilethanonomai, which means to forget, and is used both on the human level and with respect to God. On the human level, in Matthew 16 and 5, on one of the journeys, the disciples forgets to take some food alone. And on the divine level, Jesus points out that the smallest detail on earth is not unnoticed or forgotten in heaven. Hebrews 6 and 10 says, God will never forget our work and the love we have shown to others, but God emphatically promises that I myself will not forget Zion, and you today represents Zion. Now let me show you how much God thinks about you. God says, now a lot of you young folk, and some of you think you started tattooing, but you didn't. It's actually an old practice. It was a common thing for the worshipers of Jerusalem when they went off to the temples and different places, that they would etch or carve a picture of the temple or something in their hands as a way to remember them. But look at what God says about how much he's into you. He has tattooed you. Now, many of us today, when we, you know, y'all, when you have that puppy love and everything, and you go and get Boo Boo's name. You get Lucretia and Bone Cretia's name tattooed, y'all know I'm telling you, on your neck, and I bet if I look at some of y'all right now, me and Ray Ray forever. Right across your neck. But the Lord said, I've been doing that for a long time. You are tattooed on my hand. So every time I think about you so much, I got such a case of the can't help it, that every time I look at my hand, you know, and y'all wonder why some people get elevated to some positions that y'all don't think they deserve. Why some people have the favor that they have. Why some people have the grace they have. Why some people have the blessings they have in their life. How did he get that position? I don't know. The Lord, they asked the Lord if he needed somebody, and he looked at my hand. But how did she get that promotion? Well, when they were asking, who can we put in this position? The Lord looked at his hand and said, I know somebody. when it was time for healing and finding the right doctor for your situation, the Lord just looked at his hand. Tell folk when they play or hating on you and trying to cast shade on you, tell them don't get mad, but you get mad with God because is there anybody in here this morning that's glad that you're on his hand, that every time you get new mercies, you get new mercies every day, you get new opportunities? Because when he gets ready to send out a blessing and need to bless somebody, he looks at you on his hand. Yes, sir. I've tattooed you on my hand. He didn't just say tattoo, he said, I've engraven.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me see if I can help y'all understand that. You know, with tattoos that y'all get today, you know, you can get the one that'll wash off. Right? And then you can get somewhere, if you go, there's a laser in there, a laser treatment, right? But they can take it off. But if it's engraven, Lord have mercy. Come on. You have to see how deep the imprint is. And because the imprint is so deep, no matter what you do, you can't sand it off. You can't rub it off. You can't get it off. Talk about me as much as you please. Try to scandalize my name. Talk behind my back, try to put me down, try to set me up, but you can't wash me off his hand.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on, doctor. Good, yes, sir. You're preaching now. Good,
doctor. Because it's engraven.
Yeah.
So it won't, you can't, what's the thing, Oxidol? Or what is it? Will not get you off of his hands. And so the next time you realize that you're blessed and you shouldn't be, you receive things that you shouldn't have received, you got grace when you know you shouldn't have got it, when you got mercy when you know you should have gotten punishment, it's because he looked at his hands. So he says to Israel, just know that how can I forget you when I look at my very hand? It's a constant reminder of how much he loves you. In other words, he says you are continually.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anybody here but me that needs to be continually before the Lord? That's why I love the song, I Need Thee. Oh, I need thee every hour. Thank you for having me continually on your mind. That you tattooed me. And because of that, I don't ever have to worry. Society may forget me. The community might forget me. People might forget me. But my God, because I'm right there. Well, not only is he concerned about you, he still cares about you. No matter has he engraven you on your hand, his hands. But the Lord told me to tell the seniors and everybody one final thing, and I'll be out the way. I got 2.5 more hours to go. 2:45, all right. Is that you have his continual protection and provision. You know, there's some concerns. Might I share these with you that some of our seniors face and some of the things that are upsetting them, and that is, may I share them, and I meant to do this earlier on, the rising health care costs. The older we get, the more health care it seems we need. And you see, my brothers and sisters, many of our seniors, as I talk to them, say, I talked to one of my cousins who was at the point of death before she passed on, and I was upset with her, and I said, well, why didn't you tell me you were off of your medication? She said, because I just didn't want to bother you. You do so much, and I didn't want to seem like I was a burden. They have to make the choice between eating, paying their bills, or getting medicine. And see, because many of them were not able to work the high-profile jobs that we do, so the income that many of them retired on is not even enough to die on. Do you realize some of their income is only $500 to $700 a month? But then you got gas bill, you got food, and God knows medication now costs so much. I was told by one of my cousins that one of her pills that she takes for her condition is $500 a month. Doctor's visits are multiplying, medical costs are rising, which invariably impacts one's budget, not to mention what diseases are doing, Alzheimer's, dementia, cataracts, macular degeneration, osteoporosis. Physical aging means that they can't move as quickly as they used to. Our eyes don't see as clearly as they used to do. Our bones don't weaken. Our bones are not as strong. As we get older, we need more physical assistance in getting groceries to doctor's visits. They say they have small tasks, cleaning the house, that becomes even difficult. Financial security, rising costs of living while living on a fixed income poses new financial restrictions. Loneliness, they said, it seemed like Rev, I raised my children, done all I could for them, but now they have just left me all alone by myself. And not to mention that we have a Congress who constantly makes cuts, and most of the cuts that they are making are directly affecting our seniors. Deacon Johnson was just telling me about respite care, how they used to allocate at least $3,000 so that family members or caregivers might get some relief and might be able to bring someone in, and now that's been cut to $1,500. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it's tough. Then, not to mention that, as we have constant cuts, refusing to extend Medicaid and Medicare, in some places, we have financial predators who prey on our elderly. You know how they do it. They get in. Y'all have so many people get on the phone and pose as their grandchildren and people like this, and calling them and telling them that they are in prison or they are someplace, and if they don't get $2,000 or $3,000, and they play these scams, and many of them have lost thousands and thousands of dollars selling them unnecessary goods and services because they are so vulnerable. You see, they face a lot of challenges. Abuse and neglect in our nursing homes, assisted living facilities, they struggle in understaffing issues, which invariably leads to abuse or neglect of our residents. Then I also heard some of them saying that one of the things that they also suffer socially is social support. 60% of those surveyed said that young people today are less supportive of older people than their own generation was in previous years. Fewer than half of those surveyed said that their community is not doing enough to fulfill the needs of retiring baby boomers. But my brothers and sisters, there's good news though. In the midst of the cuts and everything that's going on, I hear the Lord saying that there's a need to hope. He tells them in the text, don't worry about it, because the time is coming when all those that are discouraged can rest assured of my wonderful promise. No matter who opposes you, no matter who oppresses you, God says, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight your battle. I'm going to fight for your cause. Because as a warrior, it's my job. So the Lord told me to tell you the battle that you are fighting is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And God will not leave you or abandon you. 10,000 cattle on the hills belong to the Lord. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness, Congress, the budget, the Federal Reserve, they're in his hands. And as long as God is on the throne, as long as he is still sovereign, don't you worry or despair. When you think about what you're going through and you feel forsaken, just look at your hand and remember that God loves you. Remember that God cares about you. There's a song by Tone X that says God has not forgotten. If he said he will do it, it will come to pass. God has not forgotten. Keep on believing. Keep the faith. Keep on trusting him. He promised never to leave you. He promised never to forsake you. Tony said, don't get discouraged. God has not forgotten. If he said he'll do it, he'll do what he promised. God is not a man that he should lie, not slack concerning his promises. David said it this way, I've been young and now I'm old. But I tell you something, I've had some low moments. I've had some ups and downs. I've had some difficult days. I've had some long nights, but never, never, never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Is there anybody here who knows this morning God will take care of you? Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will. Do I have a witness? Won't he take care of you? The psalmist says, if my mother or my father forsake me, but God will never forsake you. You've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, and he has never failed you yet.
This concludes the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church. In order to obtain a copy of this service in its entirety, please reference number 111917. 111917. God has not forgotten you. Give us a call, 803-796-6103. 803-796-6103 is the number to call. Please check us out on our web, brooklynbaptist.org. and check out the latest. Of course, if you have not downloaded the app, it is time to get the app. You can hear the latest. You can hear these broadcasts. You can hear sermons. You can find out all the things that are going on at Brooklyn, even the extravaganza that's happening this Saturday at the Brooklyn Baptist Church. So visit us on the web at brooklynbaptist.org. Download the app, and you will stay informed on what's happening at Brooklyn. We want to thank you for all your support, and we pray that you have a blessed and prosperous week in the Lord.